the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of Jill on Money, and that means it's the guest hour. If you have a financial resolution for 2017, this is going to be right up your alley, okay? Because I am holding in my hands, hot off the presses, right now, available on Amazon.com or anywhere else you get your books, Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover by Leanne Jacobs. Leanne says it's a holistic approach to increasing your net worth. We'll get into that in a second. Hi, Leanne. Welcome to Jill on Money.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Poor Leanne. She's like, how long is this going to be? I said it's like 4 hours. And she sort of had the blood drained from her face. She was like, what's going on here? Everyone writes a financial book. There's like a zillion financial books, right? So why don't you talk a little bit about your background and how this book came to be? So
sure.
Tell us, first of all, you're Canadian, right?
I'm Canadian.
Because you had that funny little accent thing. You said something like about, but you said about. You're from Toronto.
I'm from just outside of Toronto, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And you
are a big hockey town.
And you are a hockey fan, which meant that Mark and I were immediately partial to you,
yes.
Which is good, right? What is it about Toronto that that you miss the most living here in the United States?
Well, I actually do live in Canada, but I do come back and forth a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I think what appealed to me, especially about New York, is the energy, especially for entrepreneurs and people who are authors. It's just like every hour there's something amazing going on.
Is it too much, though, like to live your life here? Would you think that's too much?
I think I would need some ocean vacations every month. Yes.
Or mountains for you. All right. So tell us about, you're born in Toronto, and where'd you go to school?
I went to university, actually three different universities.
What? You can't pick one?
No, I need a lot of choice.
Uh-huh.
So there's a town called Guelph, Ontario. So I went to University of Guelph, very much known for nutrition.
Uh-huh.
Then I did my MBA at Wilfrid Laurier, which is known for accounting and finance.
Uh-huh.
And I studied as well at the University of Fiji in the South Pacific, which was a little bit of a treat. And that was part of my education in the sciences.
So wait a minute. You've studied lots of different things. So
yes.
So build the career path for us. Tell us what happened here. I like to know.
I'm not too sure.
Now here's the thing. The reason I have a radio show is because I'm an incredible voyeur. I'm very intrigued by someone's story. So tell us your story, and then I promise we'll promote the book like heck, right? We'll get you lots of promo. But who are you? How did you get to a money book, nutrition, Fiji, a little accounting sprinkled in? So what happened?
Well, I think, and this is how the book started. I mean, I remember being in high school and my guidance counselor was like, here's a list of average salaries. I come from a family. My dad was a lawyer. My mom worked in banking. And I sort of picked based on the salary. I looked at engineering and it was like, he was like, you're going to definitely always have work. You're going to make great money and you're going to have great education. So that's what I picked. I actually picked engineering.
You were smart.
And then in my first year of engineering, second year.
Which is so hard.
It is very hard. And
yeah.
At the time I got a letter saying there was like going to be four women in your class and you have to be prepared for this because, you know, you're one of very few women. There's actually a support group for you.
Get out of
here. I'm not kidding.
Engineering support?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
This was 20 years ago.
By the way, it hasn't changed so much. But
no.
All right.
So I got called into the dean's list, to the dean's office, and he said, Leanne, are you sure engineering's for you? And when the dean calls you into his office.
Wait a second. What was the purpose of that? That kind of makes me mad. Was he trying to get you out of it? Like, you're a girl, you don't get to do it?
I think he knew that I was forcing. I was trying too hard to get okay marks.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other people in my class, it was like their destiny to be an engineer.
Yeah, yeah. It was coming easily or naturally for them.
I was working so hard for mediocrity. So that was when Beautiful Money actually started, because I realized that I was pursuing engineering because it was security, it was good money, but I hated it. For me, I hated it.
Now, let's say that you didn't come from some family of some means, because obviously, right, there's some, you know, whatever, you both parents work, you went to college. Do you think that that would still have been, would you have had the guts to step away and do something different? Because obviously, if you need to make money, you need to make money.
Yeah. I do think that you're sort of born with something in you. I was never afraid to not follow the crowd. And I think that, I mean, my parents are very much used to having security. And so I am completely different. So I think that that's sort of in you. I think you're sort of born with that. I was definitely afraid, though, to step away from that because you're raised in that security and get a great job and have an awesome title. So I was extremely afraid to try something different.
But you did it.
I did it.
And what did you study next after that?
So then I decided, well, if this isn't working, why don't I pick something I love?
Yeah.
And at the, I mean, I've always been interested in science and nutrition and health. And at the time, there was this evolving and emerging area at college called toxicology. Brand new, kind of became a little bit more famous from all the CSI shows. But at the time, it was a brand new field. There was only two universities in my area offering it. And there was only 30 people in the program. And it seemed to combine everything I loved. So I went into this. Everyone thought it was the bartending course.
That's interesting.
Nobody knew what it was, but I thought it sounded amazing. So that was my switch.
That's kind of cool. We're talking to Leanne Jacobs. We are not even letting her talk about her book just yet, but she is the author of a book called Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover. The subtitle, well, actually, there's like two subtitles because it's like Beautiful Money, colon, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover. And then the description, A Holistic Approach to Increasing Your Net Worth. When we come back from our break, you're going to tell us a little bit more about you. And you know what? I promise we will talk about the book. But, you know, without knowing your story, it's hard to understand where the book comes from. And it seems to me that the book is very personal
about
your experience and what got you here.
Yep.
So the first thing we know is that, like, you're a human being, which is great because you were fearful of making a big change that was different. And, but you did it.
Yes.
And it was within you. Were your parents okay about it?
No.
I love it. She's so honest. It's good. When we come back, we're going to see how Leanne's parents tried to nudge her one way or the other. Maybe they didn't. They obviously didn't, but they tried. And parents listening, you may take a little page here because maybe Leanne can give you some guidance as to what might have nudged her or not nudged her.
Love it.
You have kids now, right?
I do.
A lot.
I have four.
Four's a lot. I have zero, so four is a lot. I have two dogs and Mark, but besides that, I have no other children. You're listening to Jill on Money. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jill on Money. Mark says I've got more than 13,000 followers now, finally. When we return, more with Leanne Jacobs. We'll be right back.
K, IRAs, refinancing. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Broadway is dark
tonight. You're back with Jill on Money. This is the show that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. Mark is running the show. And here in studio, Leanne Jacobs, author of Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover, A Holistic Approach to Increasing Your Net Worth. And before we went to the break, Leanne was saying that she had a hard time, like, making a decision. She was on the engineering track, and it's definitely a track. And many of us have been on similar tracks. You know, people who say, I'm pre-med, I'm pre-law, I'm blah, blah. And you got off the track, and I asked you right before the break, what was that like? Like, what happened with your parents? What was the comment there?
Well, the day before I made the decision, my roommate actually was like, I am out of this program, and she just bolted.
And getting rid of all the women in engineering.
Yeah, like she was gone. I don't even think she told her parents. I mean, I think we were, I don't know, 19 at the time. My dad was like, you know what? Just stick with it. Even if you hate it, get the ring.
Yeah.
And then you got the career. Your resume's solid. Just hang in there for two more years. And for me, that felt like death.
Yeah. And what about mom?
She was pretty... She knows how I am, and she's always supportive. My dad is more vocal about his opinions.
That must have been hard, though. It's very hard to go against, especially if you have a close family.
Yeah.
It's hard to go against that. Do you think there was anything that your parents could have said to sway you to stick with it or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Although I do have a friend who was in a similar boat. She was in zoology. She wanted to quit university altogether. And her parents said, we 100% support you.
Yeah.
And to me, that is such a gift. I mean, they knew she would find her path.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's pretty amazing to just believe in your kids, even when they're young.
Well, I knew somebody who had a similar thing and said, and he's like, I don't want to go to finish college, or I don't want to go to med school. And his parents said, that's just fine. You're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
We totally support you emotionally, but you are cut off. You are not getting one dime from us. And that's a very different kind of conversation, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that was the smartest thing in the world. Whatever. He did what he wanted to do anyway, and he went back to medical school later. He's probably an unhappy doctor. Okay. So let's talk. So you get into this area, you're into nutrition, and you go and you become a toxicologist. You are going to be the person in the lab telling me what killed me, or what so you're sort of a scientist, right?
Yeah.
So you have a science
100%
brain.
Scientist, yeah. And I think, again, I not that that was my path to freedom, right? Because I ended up, after 4 years, I did get the degree in toxicology, but same place, I was ready to, I applied to do my master's and do my PhD in toxicology. And again, the dean of the school called me into his office. It's like a pattern here. And he's like, Leanne, you know this means you're going to be in the lab for the next 5 years of your life, 24/7. And he knows that I love people.
Ah.
And he said, are you 100% sure that you're going to be happy?
You are very lucky, as you're telling your story, that you had these people who cared enough about you to say, are you sure that this is the right thing? Like, knowing your personality, are you sure this is what you want to do?
It's true. I'm grateful. And again, they didn't know me that well, but there was something that called them to bring me in.
Are they acknowledged in the book? Did they get a shout out or not?
Their names? No.
Yeah.
But I should. I know. I'm going to call them after this interview and thank
you
them.
You better do that. I have not written a book yet, but I have my acknowledgments done. Okay, so toxicology out. What's next?
So then I decided to do my MBA.
Oh, that's a straight line. Not. What?
I worked for Johnson & Johnson after that.
What did you do there?
I worked in sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually started, my first job there was on the telephone number you call when you have product information questions.
Oh, really?
So you can actually look at any label of a product,
yeah,
and there's a number, and
Mark,
that was
get
me.
That bottle of Tylenol out and call Leanne. Okay.
That was
so,
my first job.
And what were you doing there? Just learning how to do interaction with customers, or what were you, or were you doing something more on the corporate side?
I was in corporate, basically becoming like a product expert for them.
Uh-huh.
And then making my way into sales and marketing.
That's totally fun.
So much fun.
I mean, except if you get a lousy product.
Yeah.
Like my friend had to, my friend went into advertising. She thought she was going to get like a really cool job. And I think her first account depends.
Oh.
The worst. Okay. I mean, I may need it soon, so I don't know. But I know, no disrespect to Depends, but just not really what you want to do when you're 21,
right,
coming out of college. So how long were you at Johnson & Johnson?
Probably about 3 or 4 years.
Was that in Canada or here in the U.S.?
It was in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then after that, and that was where, again, Beautiful Money evolved to the next level. As much as I loved working there,
yeah,
one of my mentors there, again, another little gift on my path.
Not mentioned in your book, I bet.
No, but I'm sending him a LinkedIn message after this.
All right, good.
His name was Richard Marcil, and he's an innovator and a huge mentor. And he said, Leanne, like, even though you're picking jobs who have great mentors, have you ever thought about becoming an entrepreneur? Have you ever thought, because you get bored every couple years, and I had never thought about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. And what did that mean to you when he said that? Like, what did
scary?
You,
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not going to have this safety net and this.
Yeah, where's my 401k?
Yeah, my boss isn't going to take care of me in the company. At the time, I mean, it was a wonderful company to work for.
Yeah.
So I felt very nurtured there. So again, the fear kind of came up. But to me, I usually use fear as a challenge. And by this time, I was in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Things were starting to fall into place. I was going through a divorce at the same time, wrapping up my MBA.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to evolve, I think, mature spiritually as well, and start recognizing my authentic side was coming out. Like, what do I really, I was starting to ask questions like, what makes me happy?
Okay, hold on a second. You kind of glossed over the whole divorce thing. So yeah. What happened there? Like, is that the reason why I asked that is that I find that a lot of women mm-hmm. who go into personal finance or in like think about their lives a little bit differently, use the trigger of a divorce because it's the moment where you really have to like knock up against your money.
Mm-hmm.
Your money stuff really comes to the fore very quickly.
Yep.
So was that some sort of
huge
catalyst?
Trigger. For sure, because the fear there was, what if I can't take care of myself by myself?
Right.
And I didn't have any dependents. I was in my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost overwhelming because you go from, you know, I came from a great background. And then at university, although I took care of myself, my family helped me through school.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my life where I was 100% responsible for my money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was extremely scary.
So you're divorced. You're asking yourself these big questions. And someone says you should start your own business. Mm-hmm. What is that business? What are you thinking about in that moment?
Well, that was the first, I mean, I thought about it, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I don't know that I was totally ready to become an entrepreneur.
Okay.
So I tested it by taking a little bit of a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
So I left Johnson & Johnson and I traveled for 3 months in Europe on my own as a newly divorced woman.
I bet there's a lot of stories there, Mark. What do you think? The 3 months traveling in Europe at a time when you could be feel safe, I'm sure. Not in this moment, of course. But 90 days, it's almost like an eat, pray, love kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going there and you ate, maybe you prayed a little bit. You got spirituality and love, although,
yeah.
You know, she's now divorced from that guy. But that's a sad story. I'm sorry I even brought that up. But all right, hang on. We got to get into the meat of this. Now we're getting into this. We are talking to Leanne Jacobs, the author of Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover, a holistic approach to increasing your net worth. I bet when you get back from that 3-month sabbatical, something big is going to have happened. And that's when we get into the guts.
Maybe.
I'm pounding the table on the book, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Jill on Money. This is a excellent New Year's resolution kind of moment. And also like an awakening, which I think does happen around the new year. So if you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL, send us an email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. More with Leanne Jacobs when we return. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime, 855-411-JILL or ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. Just because you
find yourself. You're back with Jill on Money. I see that you don't have headphones, so you don't understand why I'm rocking in my chair because you can't hear the music that's playing, but I'm rocking and just know that we're rocking out. I am talking to Leanne Jacobs. She is our guest here for our first full show of 2017. This is Jill on Money, where we take the mystery out of your financial life. And Leanne Jacobs has written a book called Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover. She took a very circuitous route to get here, but all of these twists and turns bring you to this place where you come back from your 90 days backpacking. It's probably not backpacking because you'd already been working, but like traveling through Europe and you get divorced and you're confronted with your money. You got to take care of yourself. You worked in sales and marketing. You took a sabbatical. Now you're back.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
So I had these great ambitions to, okay, this is like the new me.
Yeah.
And then fear kicked in and my dad's voice in my head kicked in.
He's like, no disrespect to dad, but that's like a normal thing, right?
What are you going to do? How are you going to make money?
Yeah.
You got to go get a job.
You got to get a job.
You got to get a job.
Honey, you got to go. This has been, I know it's been hard, but.
Okay. And like you said, sometimes choices. I mean, I had a great resume, so getting a job at the time wasn't a challenge. It was picking what I felt would be the right fit.
Right.
So that took a little bit of time. There was a couple jobs that weren't exactly what I thought they would be. But I landed a great job with L'Oreal and got back on my corporate
product
gig. Yeah. I was in marketing management at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. But after a couple years, same thing. This feeling that I needed something different, that I needed freedom, that I needed global adventure, and that I had to burn out to do well at my company. Mm. I'm a marathon runner who had to work out at 1 a.m. because I was working all the time, so I had to find a 24-hour gym to get a cardio workout in.
You're really insane. I mean, it's just fascinating. You were. I like that you're saying
I'm normal now.
Oh,
I'm
you
someone
are?
Normal
evolved?
Now. Evolved?
You look like you're
my husband might not say I'm normal.
All right, we'll get him on later. So, did you get discounts at L'Oreal?
I did.
All right, so that's pretty good.
I sort of missed that.
And then what happens after that?
So, again, after a couple of years, I realized, you know what? Like, what do I have to lose? It's time for something new.
Mm.
And so I decided to start a blog at the time that was called Healthy Girl Part-Time while I was working at L'Oreal. And that evolved into wellness coaching and nutrition. And it allowed me to transition quite nicely into entrepreneurship without just making a jump full-time.
Now, so in your book, Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover, the one thing you say is the truth is that no matter how many zeros our paycheck contains, most of us are not only financially broke, but spiritually and emotionally broke as well.
Mm-hmm.
You think that most of us are that way or you were like that?
I think that a lot of women who I talk to are feeling that way. It could just be the world I live in, but I definitely found it was a common theme.
What do you mean by emotionally broke in that sentence?
Well, I feel that a lot of people are seeking success, but they're not truly feeling fulfilled and connected. They're feeling like they're working out of obligation or being over-responsible, especially as women.
Mm-hmm.
A feeling they need to do the right thing instead of what's right for them.
When you think about this, you talk about this that your dad calls it the gopher syndrome. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so that is sort of over people-pleasing. And I've been told it's a bit of a Virgo trait. I'm a Virgo, but I think it's a female trait as well. It's that I will take care of you and help you even if it costs me.
I do that with Mark. It's not true. We do it for each other. I mean, essentially this book, and in the introduction you say it, I aspire to teach as many people as possible how to stop chasing money and start creating joyful, healthy, and aligned wealth. And this is part of your holistic process or your holistic approach. But I mean, that's a lot to take on in a book, no? Mm.
I think this book is really a spark plug that gives you action steps you can take to live in a greater place of inner harmony.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be, you know, like there's sort of that idea that, well, if you're doing what you love, like you're this amazing yoga instructor, but you're dirt broke and you can't pay your rent, it doesn't have to be two extremes. Or, you know, you're ultra successful, but you hate what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is this wonderful, I believe there's a place that you can have both.
What about the people who maybe feel a little bit like they're listening to this and saying like, oh, this is all well and good. Like this is like a holistic claptrap nonsense. These two women are talking and they both are women who have achieved something. But I don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
I am a nurse. I am killing myself. I'm raising my 3 kids. I have a husband who's working his butt off and we make good money. But like, what the hell are you talking about, Leanne? What's the question I have to ask myself to get off that train of judgment, if we're listening to this from the outside?
Are you happy?
That's a tough question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy. Right? Like that?
I think that starts the conversation, the internal conversation. Because one of my mentors said, you know, most people are busy being broke. Mm. If you're completely busy doing things that's just getting you by, maybe there's some greater questions and deeper questions to start asking.
And maybe this is one that I will ask you. Mark wants to know, do I have to be 100% happy? He's happy to settle for 80%. Okay, ready? As we go into the break, this is what Leanne Jacobs wants to ask you. Ready? Look at where you are today during this break and try to figure out what's holding you back from making a change in your life. What is holding you back from making a change in your life? She calls this making gorgeous space. I don't know. Gorgeous is a weird word for me, but I'm going with it right now. Okay, I'll tell you right now. We're talking to Leanne Jacobs. Her book is called Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover, A Holistic Approach to Increasing Your Net Worth. And when we come back, she's going to talk us through some of the principles of this book and some of the goals that you have in putting the book out there, what you want people to do with this book. You want them to use it as a tool. And so when we come back, more with Leanne Jacobs, the author of Beautiful Money. You're listening to Jill on Money. This is the show that takes the mystery out of your financial life. 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. When I think of heaven,
you're back with Jill on Money. And we are talking with a special guest this hour, Leanne Jacobs, the author of Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover. And, this is an interesting thing because what you're really tackling is pretty intense, which is like you're not happy in your life, but you're sort of expressing it through your financial stuff. I mean, when I was a financial advisor, so I was a financial advisor for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And when people come into my office, you become a little bit of like a shrink, right? Because mm-hmm. they're telling you about their money and you notice things that have nothing to do with their money, but they're expressing it around the concrete notion of money and financial mm-hmm. stuff, right? But it's not your job as the financial planner to be like, you're not happy, are you?
Right.
Right? So you're challenging people in this book and in this process to really question some huge issues in their life that might be expressing around
yes.
their financial lives?
Yeah, I am. And I had the first two people who read the book did call me with they found it challenging because they were avoiding looking at what's behind the money, mm-hmm. those questions, right?
Yep.
And my first financial planner told me to live in a moderate house and keep my same job for my whole career, and then I would be able to retire healthy.
Right.
And I thought, that's the advice I'm getting at 20.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
Mm. So talk about these principles you have. You have these 8 principles. Mm-hmm. And the first one you say, money can heal you. You know, you're a little Oonga Boonga in this book. You know what I mean? Which I love. But, I mean, I got to get people through this
yeah.
and make sure that they know that there's, like, concrete stuff
yeah.
here. So what does that mean? Money can heal you. It's all of a sudden I'm like, ay, ay, ay. Now she's going to give me, like, some space age stuff. What does that mean?
Well, I would say for people who would like a different money landscape
mm-hmm.
to try it on. And it's really just a very simple concept that the language you use, you're putting out energy out there,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're using, especially with your kids, like if you're using language like, I can't afford it, we're always in debt, I'm never going to make more money, it definitely creates a reality.
Mm.
So money can hear you. It's just about practice trying on more abundant language.
Mm-hmm.
And notice in the beginning how difficult it is because you don't even realize sometimes the money patterns that are going on.
It's very funny. I grew up with a father who was a trader on Wall Street. So the language around money had a lot of F-bombs associated with it. So I'm just laughing, thinking, I wonder how Daddy would have felt about this. You say that your second principle is ask for money. What does that mean? Like just borrow money or ask for help? Or what does that mean?
I think for women especially, that's one of the biggest things. It's like for me, too, it's like ask your worth.
Oh,
don't undervalue yourself. And learn to be comfortable and confident asking for money.
I like respect money, because I was just made fun of this past weekend by friends who saw me open my wallet and all of my bills were in descending order facing the same way. And they're like, wow, you're really kind of freaking nutty about your money. I'm like, just like it all tidy.
Yes. This is one of the biggest principles, respecting money. And for me, that was my big journey. My wallet was exploding with messiness and it was old and ripped. And I was never grateful for money that came into my life. I didn't even know what came in.
Mm.
That was one of the reasons why I wanted to create a program. It was really for myself first.
When you talk about not chasing money, do you mean don't make a decision just for the money?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, though. If you don't have money, that is a very hard thing to do, right? Like, let's say I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And I have an opportunity. Then it's tough for me to come up with, I don't know, it's like that's a toughie, because like, of course I'm going to chase money because I need money.
I think there's always more than one option, though.
Mm.
I think be more creative around ways you can get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might have to say, you know what, I am consciously making this decision because I need the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But when it becomes a constant pattern in your life, there's something else going on.
And also, you like the next one being that being clear about your intentions. Like, yes, I'm chasing the money because right now I have to pay down my student loans. That's what I have to do. Like, a friend of mine graduated from law school, and she's like, I'm taking like an awful job, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill myself for 3 years and pay these loans down.
Exactly.
And that's it, right?
It was a conscious decision.
Right. I'm going to just don't sleepwalk through this. So balance action and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
This is where the forcing comes in. If you're in a constant state of action, action, action.
Yeah.
This is not a happy way to live.
Mm.
And I think it becomes an addiction.
Mm.
So give yourself the space so you can actually get rewarded and great things can flow into your life more.
I love principles 7 and 8. Give more, teach more, be more. And then 8, lead with soul and lead by example. We are coming to the end of our interview. And I would like to tell people that the God's honest truth, because I have a hard time being unauthentic, which is I got this book. I'm like, oh, this is crap. I can't believe I have to interview this girl. I did. Mark's like, oh, read the book. Don't be an idiot. And I was, because, look, I don't think that you're going to, like, totally make your wealth over in 4 weeks. I just don't believe anyone's going to. I think you probably need, you know, 4 years of therapy to get through half the stuff going on in your life. But what I do appreciate is this different approach, which is a look at, you know, instead of the outside in, the inside out. And I completely applaud that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for coming as a guest. This wasn't so bad, was it?
It was amazing.
Really?
So much fun.
Was it the best interview you've done so far? I'm very competitive.
100%.
Of course,
it was the most fun and the most peaceful.
I like peace.
Yeah.
We'll put a link up for this, for the book, Leanne Jacobs, Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover. You're going to have to work to do this, though, guys. She's not going to hand you the book and you're not going to just become wealthy. You are going to have to ask yourself some hard questions. And that, I think, is really important. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. We will be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. And Leanne just walked out with her book in hand. She took her book with her. Oh, well. Leanne Jacobs. That was fun. That was definitely fun. Maybe you should text her and bring it back. I hope I didn't write anything nasty in the margins. I could have. We'll see. Anyway, no, I think it's pretty safe. Anyway, Beautiful Money. I really was, I have to say, I was like a little bit like, this is going to stink. But it was good. It was good. It was like a really interesting interview. It was interesting that she got you know, to this place. Look, you guys know that I am very much doubtful that any book, any radio show, any TV show, any one thing is going to be the miracle of remaking your financial life. But I do think that what's really important is to be able to ask yourself questions that propel you to maybe a different place. And it doesn't mean that you have to do every single thing, but it does mean that, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to take control of your financial life, whatever does it, does it. You know, it's the same way I always felt this way about when you think of, about your working out, okay? So, you know, my dad used to be so judgmental, like, oh, why do you pay a trainer? You know what you're doing. Because sometimes you need someone to kick you in the tush and get you there. And so if a book is a spark, if it is a catalyst, then that's really, that's all that matters. Like something that takes you to a different place, that's fantastic. And so, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to be rich if you do this. It means that any step you can take to take a little bit more control is fine. And if that step means you give us a call, that's fine too. 855-411-JILL, that is our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. And you know what? We will be back every single week doing this, answering your questions. So do join us. Thanks so much for listening. Great first show of the year, Mark. Well done. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.